Well, if you have your Bibles, real quick, like, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I guess you could say that Harold could have gone on with my message today. But let's pray over this word before we get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're now about ready to partake of the bread that comes from heaven. And Father, we're not to live by natural bread alone, but by every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so, Father, that has priority over everything that we think, say, or do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, one of my favorite places to go is where Paul said some things that are very powerful. Matter of fact, Harold shared a very powerful witness with us. I did not know that, Harold, so you kept that from me. Hallelujah. But I forgive you now that you told me. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. This is referring to fortresses that have been built up around us. Casting down arguments. Actually, it's the word reasoning. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, these are some very important scriptures that the Apostle Paul was bringing to us. And if you read on, he says that you're not to look at things according to the outward appearance. And if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. And he was establishing a criteria for the reason that his ministry even existed. And he said that the reason for his ministry even existing is that they were called to do something for the body of Christ. And what was it that he was trying to get across to the body of Christ? Well, today, sad to say, many churches are going more by outward appearance than inward change. And we've been talking about the difficulties that we face in life, and we are living in some very difficult times. And you know, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, we know that there is a God kind of faith, but there's also a natural kind of faith. There is a God kind of hope, and then there's the natural kind of hope. Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. There is a natural love, and then there is the God kind of love. So we know that these three things exist within our life: faith, hope, and love. But which one is really growing within us? And those things that grow within us grow within our thinking processes, how we think things through. And especially when you get under an attack, like Harold was sharing, when you get that call that things don't look good, and several of you in this body, you've been there. And the thing about it is that when you've been there, wherever you've been, you've had to sit in your vehicle afterwards and deal with the situations that start going through your mind. And nobody else is sitting there with you. And even if they were, you probably wouldn't even hear what they had to say, because you'd be so preoccupied with the information that was given you. I know the first time that my faith was tested is when I saw this man walking up my driveway. And I knew that he had come from the police department. And I knew where my oldest son had been, involved in heroin and drugs and addiction. So you could see the handwriting all over the walls. And he knocked on our door, and of course he gave us the information that our oldest boy passed on. And you don't think your natural mind goes through something? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And your natural mind kicks in right away. It's called your sensual mind. And this is where we get the mind of reasoning. And many of us don't realize that our natural mind and the way that it thinks builds fortresses that make us a prison. And we don't realize that we're a prison of our own way of thinking. And when you're in an unnatural position in life, a very uncomfortable position in life, boy, I'll tell you what, you do everything within you to scramble to figure out how are you going to get out of this one. And yet the churches need to do their job. Instead of being so interested in building their ministry, they need to build the kingdom of God in the people that are in their ministry. And that's what you're all about. My life means nothing to me if I don't get success in it for your benefit and for your sake. Because my success is as a result of what God has put in me to put into you for you to get the same results. And that's really where it's all about, people. Other than that, By His Word Christian Center is just a name. But what does it really promote? That's what Paul had to face. He said, what are we, the offscourge of the world? You guys rule and reign as kings and priests. I would to God that you were ruling and reigning as kings and priests, because we'd be there with you. And what he was referring to is when Christ comes back for the church. And he says, apparently we're not there yet, because we're still in unfavorable situations and circumstances. But he said, nevertheless, what's in me, I've been putting in you. And so he gives us some insight here in these verses. He tells us that our own worst enemy is our natural way of thinking. Yep. And I don't care what hardship you get into, people, you are going to face your own natural resources of thinking because you grew up in them. Yep. Yep. If you don't think that you grew up into them, then where are you at right now? You exist in this realm. You exist in natural thinking. And so when the kingdom of God came into my heart and life, I had no idea, no concept whatsoever that the Word of God had to get on the inside of me and begin to do something for me so that I have a fighting chance of winning some battles. And there isn't any one of you in this building here, there isn't not one of you that will not in the future be faced with a battle. Now, I'm not speaking it on you negatively. I'm just telling you that God is not in control of this world. It's the devil. We are living in a falling world. And when we receive Jesus, we're no longer vulnerable to the conditions that go on in this world. We have a position in Christ that we've inherited so that we can overcome this world. But you have to be in Him to do it. Now, His lease is going to be up. And when it's up, He will be taken out of that second heaven and cast to the earth. Because in the book of Revelation says now He's been brought down to man, and woe unto the inhabitants that are in that last 7-year period. Right. He said, because He came down with you with great wrath. Yeah. Now you're going to know what it means to be saved during that last 7-year period. It's going to cost you your life, but you're not going to have any choice. I often wondered, well, if people can't give up their life to serve the Lord now, what's it going to be like that last 7-year period? And the Lord clearly has shown me as I'm digging through that book. Boy, I'll tell you, you have to dig through that one. That they're going to actually be outright bold signs in the heaven that they see with their natural eye. So they have no choice. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the kingdom of God could service through our senses? You know what that would happen? We would come to our senses. That's a pun. Anyway. But in the meantime, we're not governed by what we see in the natural or what we think. We have to be governed by the law of Christ, which is the God kind of faith. Not faith that grows in you naturally, but faith that grows in you supernaturally. Something you have to press in for. You have to deliberately go there and press into it. Gee, you're awful quiet here. And sad to say, we've got a lot of what we call church that has brought every kind of wind of doctrine flying our way. And I've learned one thing, that I have to rely upon the Spirit in spite of the doctrine that flies around. Because if we're caught up with every wind of doctrine, we can't stabilize ourselves. We're like a ship in the ocean with no rudder. We can't have any direction to our life. And I know right now more than anything else, just like natural faith, a natural faith that grows in us, we have to be careful how we hear things. Because how we hear is how our faith grows. And I found that it can be negative as well as the God kind of faith. You know, Sue and I made a decision within our household. We slip every once in a while, but we catch ourselves doing it. And then we respond to do it again. You know, I'm not telling you how to run your life and how to run your house. But I know that faith grows in you by the entrance of what you hear. And me and Sue one day made a decision because of some of the commercials that have been coming on TV. And some of them are, as far as I'm concerned, are X-rated. And they promote sex, some of them. And others promote sickness and disease. And are you ready for this? Some of these commercials are literally telling you how they can make a cure for you in one area of your body, but that pill will destroy the other areas of your body. So what I'm hearing is complete craziness. Matter of fact, if you get into a situation where the doctors give you a bad report, I guarantee you your natural mind will remember one of the commercials and say, you got that. And the first thing that you will revert back on is, then I need that pill. Well, you can get that pill and try to ease your position that you're in. But what about the other parts of your body that are failing because you ate that pill? Now you got to go and get another pill to counteract that pill. And so where does it really end? And so I made a decision. I'm not going to sit there and let that play into me. And so we mute it. And you know, one day I was watching this Western and I was trying to get the story together and on come a commercial. And I found out 5 minute program, 5 minute commercial. They're getting bad. And all of the commercials are always telling you what kind of sickness you can get and what kind of pill can cure it in spite of the other parts of your body. And I can't be hearing that anymore. And so Sue and I, what we do is we blip the commercials. Shut them off. It's funny, I'll go by and I'll hear Sue watching a program and all of a sudden it's a dead silence. She's doing it. But it is important how you hear. Now, when you're in an unfavorable situation or circumstances and that plagues your natural way of thinking, it does not plague your spiritual way of thinking. It makes your spiritual mind subordinate to your natural mind. That's all. But when you make a decision to do what God said to do in order to actually deal with that kind of thinking, you have to let it come out your mouth. Faith speaketh on this why. Faith says something. Just like praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You gotta let it come out of your mouth. And I found that even praying in the Spirit, I don't know about you guys, but when I pray in tongues, my natural way of thinking goes anywhere it wants to. I could be thinking about a trip to Honduras right while I'm in the midst of praying in the Spirit to get a revelation out of 1st or 2nd Corinthians, you know. That's my focus, is that. But my mind, you know what? You're sitting there and you're leaving him out of the process while you're praying in tongues. And so what's it going to do? Let's go for a trip. But I got news for you. You try to pray in your understanding and pray and in your understanding. I meant praying with your language that you know, and try to get your mind to wander there. It won't. Because your mind is focused on what you're praying with in your understanding. That's how you can tell that praying in tongues definitely has a powerful difference in our life. And I'm going to tell you something about praying in tongues. I've been to a lot of deserts. I think I visited every desert you can name on planet Earth. You know what I mean by desert? Where nobody is, where there's no water, and you're just blah. And I always tell God, God, where's the next water hole? That's what I said one time. I said, God, I feel like a desert. And none of you has ever got that way in the Lord, have you? Which one of you is lying? I think every one of us has got dried up somewhere in the process. Then you wake up one day and say, how come I'm so dry? Well, you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so I'd go to God and I said, God, what do I do about getting out of where I'm at? He must be amused by us. I think that's why his time is well occupied, just watching us. And so I got serious with him one day, and I stood in the middle of my office up there. I stood there and I said, I'm going to pretend that I'm on a little piece of rock, and if I step one way or the other, a disaster is going to happen, and only you, God, can tell me where to step. And I'm going to stay right here until I'm going to start praying in tongues. Some of you have heard my story. This is what he said to me. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. After a desert experience. I think it was the Sahara on this one. Hello. Hello. You know the church of Laodicea is one of the churches that you're going to see at this end time. It said that, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. And if the doorkeeper opens, I'll come in and dine with him. He's talking about fellowshipping with him through that second birth called born again. And there's a lot of believers, especially in leadership today, are not dealing with the subject of what it means to be born from above. And part of being born from above is getting that tongue. And Satan has done a good job to try to keep a move of God in these end times by shutting down the tongue. And here's what the tongue does. And when God said hello, I said, God, tell me, what's the very next thing I need to do to break this off me? And he says, well, one thing you got's the want to. Do you know people are where they're at because they want to be there? Where do you want to be with God? You know, you got to ask yourself that question. Where do I want to be with God? God's not asking you to do the same thing Moses did. He's not asking you to go to the world and deliver the world. He's just asking you to have the want to in you to be what God wants you to be. He wants you to be spiritually alive. And so I said, okay, God, tell me what I need to do so that I will get victory over these impasses. That's what they are. It's an impasse. Right. And he says, okay, I'll tell you. And I said, oh, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be one I never heard before because it's going to deal with the whole impasse thing. Because God told me it would. And I said, what is it? He says, get a hold of Dave Roberson's cassette tapes. And hear again about praying in tongues. What? Praying in tongues? What? I didn't really realize how valuable praying in the Spirit was. I didn't realize on the day of Pentecost, along with them tongues came a little flame of fire. Yep. You know what the flame of fire is? They're singing songs about, oh God, come down and light my fire. God's saying, no, you do it.
Yep.
You're the one that's responsible for a fire to grow in you, not God. You are. It's God's responsibility to get you lit up with His Spirit, but it's up to you to flip your bick. And so I start praying in tongues. And I'm going to be honest with you. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life because my natural mind was telling me, why are you doing this? It doesn't do anything for you. You don't have any feeling. Besides, has anything really ever changed? And I just kept praying in tongues. No, nothing's changing. Everybody's still saying the same thing. You're still doing the same thing. You're just, you know how you are. And you're just locked up into this. And all you can do is sit there and pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you know better than to pray in your own English because you only have something negative to say. And if I opened my mouth, I'd say, God, I'm deader than a hammer. Give me some life. So I just kept praying in tongues. And finally one day, there at Point Defiance, I walked around that whole bowl praying in tongues. And I stopped and I got so discouraged and so tired of it. And I turned around and God said, what do you see across the valley there? And I said, I see my pickup truck. I just wanted to just be ornery. And God says, well, rightly so. You do see your pickup truck. But tell me, how many steps did you take from your pickup truck all the way around that bowl to where you're at right now? How many what? How many steps did you take? I don't know. How many? God said, even if I told you, you wouldn't even be convinced that you took that many. I says, well, so the point? And he said, the point is, every step you took and you used that tongue, you spoke directly to me. And it had value to me for you.
Yeah.
And he says, how can you sit there and say that you're in a desert when you're living in the state of Washington that does nothing but rain and you're saying you're dry? He says, and I'm telling you to take that tongue and to seed your clouds. He says, because out of your innermost being flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
I'm telling you, after that, I quit walking around the bowl. I took the whole 5-mile drive. Walking and praying in the Spirit. I didn't care who I scared. I just kept doing it. Be praying in tongues and I'd let them out loud and I just keep walking. And these joggers would come down and they'd see me and they'd hear me and they'd go around me and look back at me. One time I was praying in tongues, getting all, man, I'll tell you, start fellowshipping with God in the Spirit. Man, you get fired up. And that's why them cloven tongues of fire were on their head. Because that was the same thing Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. He told him in chapter 1, he said, I'm surprised at you, Timothy. You're sitting there and you're coming to me and you're crying out with all the problems of the church. And I told you how to set that up in 1 Timothy. I told you how to set a church up. I told you how to elect all your leaders and everything, and now you're coming to me because the church is falling apart. Everybody's a disaster. And so Paul says, I know what your problem is, Timothy. Well, and he says, you need to stir up the gift that was given to you by the laying on of my hand. He was talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So you need to get into your prayer closet and get yourself fired up. And that's what praying in tongues will do. Then you're not in your natural mind. And that's where you should not be. Especially when you've got things coming down on you in your life. Listen, until you start doing what is necessary to have spiritual enlightenment come into you, and then you operate out of your spirit, not your natural being, you can't even get planted in a church. You can't even get united with a body of Christ anywhere and get the vision of that church. Why? Because you're a fleck, Jake. God can't plant you someplace and let you work through the extremities of it because you just fall apart like a cheap watch. Spiritual growth is what solidifies and stabilizes you. Faith, hope, and love. These three abideth forever. They're talking about abideth in God. They are resident in your spirit, not your physical being. Well, Pastor, we're living in a different time period and culture. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God transcends any generation. It'll meet any culture. You just got to convince people to grow up on the inside and start being a doer of the Word of God. That's very important for our life. And I'm going to tell you something. What'll wake you up is when you really need God in a situation in your life. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have enough guts on the inside of you to turn to the Word of God, where are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to your church? You're going to turn to your best friend? Harold, you know, Mike, you know, you guys sat in that place where your mind was plagued. But these men knew how to get a hold of that natural mind and deal with it and bring it into subjection and to do what was necessary to do. And I'm going to tell you something, people. Your natural mind will always bring condemnation into your thinking. Because you know more than anybody else your downside. Do you think God doesn't know it? Sure He does. But when you make a decision you want the victory in spite of yourself, you're headed for a blessing. Because God doesn't look at you through your mistakes. God looks at you through your ability to escape. Because He's made a way for you. And if your downside is bringing condemnation, just remember, go ahead and receive the blessing from God, and God will work with you where the condemnation's coming from. Give Him a break. He'll work with you, not against you. Oh, this is too easy. Life's harder than that. Well, that's because the natural mind thinks that way. But notice what he says here. I want to close with this thought in mind. He says, for the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal. Well, when you say not carnal, then it has to come through that natural way of thinking, carnally. He says, but mighty. And this word mighty is a very interesting Greek word. It is a word that literally says the rule of God. It's under God's rule. Well, you inherited that ability to be under His rule. And He says, they're mighty in God for the pulling down of a stronghold. Something that's got a hold of you that you seem to just can't escape from. And some of us have to go through that. We have to get before God to break that stronghold. Because it's important that that stronghold be brought down. And the only way that stronghold is going to be brought down is that you have to have a promise from God in your test, a promise from God, and stick to that promise. And when that mind gets out of control, you bring it down. And how do you do that? You have to do it with your mouth. Your natural way of thinking has to hear through your natural ears what God's saying, not what you're thinking. You can't think your way out of a troubled situation. You got to be deliberately praying and stating God's way of escape for you. To get out of that. You can't wait for somebody to prophesy it to you. When God speaks to me to give something to somebody, you'll usually find them referring back to me, "Well, that's the very thing God told me. That confirms that." Who was it that I was just, well, it was on my staff. Who, was that you, Tammy? Yeah, I went to Tammy and said, "Tammy, wow, you know, God gave me a word." We were up in the office one day. I said, "God gave me a word for you. I don't understand it." Thank God you don't understand. And I looked right at Tammy and I said, "You know what God told me?" And I told her. And Tammy says, "That's confirmation. That's the very thing God told me." You know, when somebody prophesies something to you and you don't even know what the heck they're talking about, put it on a shelf. But if somebody gives you a word that was from God and you know directly it was from God, you'll sit there and say, "Oh my, that was God." You'd be surprised how many of you do hear from God. It's just our natural way of thinking has a louder voice, and we got to somehow learn to deal and demote that louder voice. And you're not going to find it in people. You're not going to find it in Jan Butler. I can preach you the finest sermon in the world. The only thing that you will really be accountable to is my fruit. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you're alone, if I ever said anything out of my mouth, it's because you bear witness with the fruit that I carry. With what comes out of my mouth. There's where a lot of believers get discouraged. When people were their leaders and they're falling into places they don't belong, it's because their leaders are not doing what they're telling you to do. Hey, Case, some of you might already know this. Some of you arrogant people. But Jan Butler has not arrived to spirituality. Some of you, I know that. Just because I say it, really don't mean a hill of beans. You know what it means? It means a hill of beans? Is if I do it. Well, it goes for you too. Doesn't mean a hill of beans about me. What means a hill of beans is you got to eat the beans. You got to do it. Amen? You got to do it. You know, Jesus said very clearly, if you be a doer of the word, you'll be blessed. If I had anything to say, that's what I'm telling you. Be a doer of the word and be blessed. And how do you do that? Well, when it comes to a warfare and you want to deal with these thoughts that come against you, you've got to open your mouth and quote the word of God. Speak it out. Let your inner thoughts hear it. Demote them. Just like what Harold was sharing. He said that did a lot for him. You spoke it out of your mouth, right? That's what I heard him say. He spoke it out of his mouth. But he admitted his brain was going, blah, 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 blah. You know, too many of us are trying to deal with situations in life. Not only did we behave ourselves into them, if you've behaved yourself into them, then you need to fall on the mercy of God in the throne room and say, "In spite of me, God, help me out of this situation so that I don't get back into it." Yeah. And he'll help you out of the situation, but he'll come back to you and say, "Now your behavior is we got to deal with." Yeah. So you don't get into that thing again. Mm-hmm. There are some ministers that preach from the pulpit. If you don't bless them, well, what kind of, if I don't bless them, I won't be blessed? How arrogant that is. Right. How arrogant that is. You don't give to me so that you're blessed of God. You give to God so that you're blessed of God in spite of me. I'm not going to fill myself full of that kind of pride. That's a bunch of garbage. I mean, what is there about my ministry that I could claim any recognition from you that you would bless me because I'm such a great minister? I'm just as human as you are. Shut up, staff. Don't say nothing. No. I'm not going to be that arrogant. No. The reason you give into this kingdom is simply because you want to bless God with it. That's why those who even give into the wrong ministry, they're still blessed because they did it with their right heart. Not the ministry. You ain't going to find in the Word of God that says, you bless me because you bless the minister. No, you're blessed because you bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, ushers, are you ready to, let's get this communion table under our belt. Hallelujah. What is communion? Well, this is where we come together as a body. You can take anything out of the message that meant something to you today and apply it to the communion table. Now go ahead and hand out the trays. And when they hand you the tray, pass it to the one next to you first and then take your element. It helps it go faster. And the communion elements require that the body of Christ acknowledges the unification of the church and also where the life of that unification of the church comes from. And what I mean by that is, there in the mind of God, no believer should rent or tear themselves from another believer without first of all settling the issue within their own heart. Because then you actually bring judgment upon yourself. But the communion table reminds us of the time that Jesus stood up with his 12 in the upper room just before the cross and said, now that we've taken communion, I'm going to paraphrase this is what I'm teaching you. That he dropped his robes and he knelt down to cleanse everyone's feet.
Yeah.
Washed them. Until he came to Peter. And Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part in me. And then Peter turned around and said, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, it's not needful for me to wash your whole body. But it's needful that I wash your walk. And that's what communion does. It cleanses our walk with each other.
Yeah.
And our walk with those who we never stayed with, that we should have, in spite of them. And that's what causes us to leave this facility here today with a cleansing, because your feet is where you touch this dirt, this earth. Mm-hmm. It's where we get dirty when we walk on planet Earth. And Jesus was symbolizing the communion table and say, if you watch each other's feet, then you will remain together as a true source of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. It's called forgiveness. And that is the most greatest honor you can give God, is not to hold anything against anybody. Everybody, listen, everybody in the natural realm, everybody in the natural way of thinking, they are nuts. There's no good thing in it. They change like a chameleon. But you know something? There can be a stability that grows in you that will never change the position that God gives you in Him. And that's why when you discern the communion table like you're supposed to, it brings a stability to you. Amen. It doesn't right the wrong that others do, but what it does is it frees you up on the inside of them so that then you can be a help to them. Amen. Also, when you take communion, if you have a personal sin in your life, I got some good news for you. You can bury that sucker in the communion table. So nobody has to even know anything about it. You can just get rid of it. Because actually our sin doesn't belong to ourselves. I've learned that to overcome sin, especially when you become a pastor. You have to, because your sin is no longer your own. Soon I got really upset when we found out that Once we begin to pastor, our whole house was made out of glass.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there complaining, that doesn't matter. My life is my own. No, it's not. And for you to overcome darkness in your life, it's not because of just you. It's so others can benefit too. So for me to overcome, it's for your benefit. Isn't that good news? Are you ready? In the night in which he's betrayed, now our translators put broke the bread, which is tearing it off, one loaf. But really, he says, to observe the body of Christ, it should be unbroken. We should remain intact with each other.
Yeah.
And not a tearing away. And that's what this bread means. It literally means it's symbolic that the body has to remain as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Universally as well as locally. So let's take. And then that same night, he said the wine represents the giving of the life. The giving of his life was the purpose of you giving your life back to the body of Christ in him. It's a way that God can get into your heart and cleanse your walk with each other. Let's take it. Okay, the ushers come up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did all of you like the way we did water baptism? What I think I'm going to do is we're going to take names for the next water baptism. And I prayed about this, and I think what we're going to do is, instead of me preaching a sermon on water baptism for the whole body all the time, I think what I'm going to do is every Sunday that we have water baptism, for those that are registered in water baptism for the baptism that Sunday, we're going to have a special class for them, a Sunday school class for them to attend. That gives me a chance to really break it down, put it on the board, gives them a chance to ask questions back, because it's important while you're doing that. Water baptism is probably one of the single most important things for you and I to understand for our walk with God, because it symbolizes the new birth, going down the old man, coming up the new. And so, rather than put that on the whole body, then towards the end of the service, we'll have them come out with the whole, with all of you here with us. And then we have them give testimony. I thought that was great, didn't you? They have them give testimony, you know, about what it means to them to be water baptized. And they just have them go down in the tank and come up and go to the other side. Some people got it mixed up and thought they were to come this way, but actually you're to go that way, which is all right. Hallelujah. And so we're excited about water baptism and making that a part of our church on a quarterly basis. We're excited about that. We want that to be a part of your life too. Amen? Okay. So with that said in mind, everybody stand up. Now, the communion table usually takes care of any issues that we might have in our life. But this morning, before I dismiss you, which I'm going to do in just a minute, there's two things. If you as a believer, you're struggling with the fact that you are saved. And don't be ashamed of that issue. If you're struggling with that fact, we want to confirm in you of your new birth. And so we're going to give an altar call in a minute for those of you that might be struggling with that thought. And those of you who have not been born again, have not really committed your life to Jesus, we want to make that available for you this morning. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, if you're here and you're struggling with the fact that you belong to Him, that you're genuinely saved, we want to pray for you. If you are here. And if you're here, but you've never committed your life to Jesus, one thing that we want everyone to be assured of is we want to know that you're going to be in heaven once you pass this life. That's very important to us. So we're taking just a moment here. And if you would like, step out from your seat and come on up here. We won't do anything to embarrass you, but we'll be glad to pray for you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Come on, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm picking some things up in the Spirit. I don't know who this belongs to, but God told me to tell you, and I don't understand this, but I want to say it anyway. You're thinking about change. You're thinking that you're given to change, and God told me to tell you, you're not. Now, I don't know how that fits into your life. It could be a financial thing. I don't think it has anything to do with salvation. But God has planted you in whatever area that He is referring to, and you're struggling with giving change to it. The Lord told me to tell you, I know this kind of, you forget it. It would be a bad move. Kind of thinking it might be business, I don't know. But whatever it is, hallelujah. Is anyone else would like to come up with these two precious people? Amen. Father, may these people have a great day. And Father, may everyone have the right attitude towards the Patriots. And Father, may they have a wonderful trip home in Jesus' name. Amen. Thought I'd throw that in there to make the communion table good.